Hey, it's Kira Davis here. Are you like me and looking to get in shape for summer? Well, I've got a deal that can help you. You can eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. One of my favorite things about Factor Meals is how easy they are. You can get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals, so you can get back to doing what you love this spring. Are you looking for something a little fancier? Say no more. You can try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. And if you're the type that likes to look out for the environment while you're getting in shape for that summer bod, you'll be happy to know that Factor is celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. And fans of Just Listen to Yourself get a very special deal on Factor this month. Head to factormeals.com/JLTY50 and use code JLTY50 to get 50% off your first month. Plus, get this, plus 20% off your next month. I got to tell you guys that again because I know you can't believe it. Use code JLTY50 at factormeals.com/JLTY50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
This is the FCB Radio Network, home of the best personalities and where real talk lives. Online at FCBRadio.com. FCB.
If you like the way I talk, then why am I on your mind? If you don't like the way I rock, then why are we wasting time? We fight and we argue, you'll still love me blind. If we don't mess this whole thing up, guaranteed I can blow your mind. And tonight I'm alive in a dollar sign, guaranteed I can blow your mind.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Just Listen to Yourself with Kira Davis. I am here with a special guest this week. I'm so happy to have this gentleman here because, as you guys know, I talk a lot. I'm sort of obsessed with branding and marketing and how people, how corporations use politics to really kind of tweak our emotions, tug at our emotions, and use that to brand their products and how that kind of affects political discourse. So with me today, I have Jeff Webb. He's the founder of Varsity Brands. He's a businessman who is responsible for turning, I want to talk about this, Jeff, for turning cheerleading into a billion-dollar sport for ESPN and the Olympics. He's been in the boardroom for decades. He's got an insider's perspective on how corporate branding works. He's the founder of New American Populist, which is an organization committed to building a strong consensus in support of our middle-class ideas and positions within the American marketplace. Jeff Webb, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, it's great to be with you, Kira. Thanks a lot.
So just before we kind of dig in here, tell me a little bit about your business experience, because when I was reading your resume, of course, and I'm sure people do this a lot, the thing that stood out to me was how you made cheerleading a billion-dollar brand, which is something I watch now on TV like a regular sport with my daughter.
Oh, great. Well, I'm glad to hear that. Well, you know, it's kind of a brief history. I was a cheerleader in college, University of Oklahoma. When I graduated from college, and I was about to go to law school and decided I'd take a little time off. And the legal profession is better off for that, by the way. I never went back. But I had this idea of taking what had been a kind of a traditional kind of leadership activity on college and high school campuses and kind of modernizing it and adding athleticism and entertainment. And that was the idea I had, and discussed it with my family, raised a little bit of money from friends and family, and started a small company. I hired college cheerleaders and kind of worked with them to develop a curriculum. And then we started doing training camps. We started in the South and eventually grew to be kind of a nationwide training camp system for college and high school cheerleaders. And then along the way, we added uniforms, and we came up with the idea of, you talk about cheerleading on television that you watch. That was kind of my concept. And the idea was not that I saw this great profit center, although it turned out to be pretty nice, but the idea was to get exposure for kind of the new style and the new kind of brand, as you were talking about, that I'd been developing. And so between those three things, the educational camps, the training camps, the competitions, and the uniforms, kind of became three legs of a stool. And we built what had been an sideline activity into, we not only expanded the leadership part of it, which is still very important, but we actually added kind of the sport concept to it. Then, and as you briefly alluded to, recently, in fact, last week, we finally got recognition by the IOC.
Nice.
To have cheerleading be part of the Olympic family. Not necessarily in the games yet, but part of the family.
So does that mean, will it be like an exhibition sport maybe coming up, or?
Well, without getting in the weeds too much, as far as when you get membership at the IOC, it's your international federation, which we have representing cheer, and so you're technically an Olympic sport, even whether you're in the games or not. It puts you in a position to apply to be in the games.
Got it.
And there are a number of sports that want to be in. Of course, a lot of people want to be in for a number of different reasons. We won't be in Tokyo this week, but. And the games in Paris in 3 years are full, supposedly. L.A., as I say, has a nice ring to it. And, we intend to at least try to make our case to be included. We like the fact that it's a young sport.
Yes.
It's entertaining. Yeah. It's athletic. It's telegenic. So, we're going to try to make our case for the millions of young athletes we represent.
You sold me. You're right. It has all the hallmarks.
I just need to get you a job with the IOC, right? And then we're in, right? Okay, I got it.
It can't be that hard. I live in California. I have every intention of being gone for the 2 weeks that the Olympics are here.
I understand why. I understand why.
It's going to be a nightmare, but I'll probably just Airbnb my house or something and make a little cash off it. See, I have a business mind, too. I have a business mind, too.
Indeed. You're thinking way ahead.
I think cheerleading is a great introduction to Olympic sports when you think about what's already there, surfing and snowboarding and even sports like curling, which I can remember coming up and not being popular and people going, what is so great about this? Why would we want to watch it? And then people sort of, the uniforms again were a big draw for curling. The Swedish curling team has a really big fan base for their uniforms.
Indeed.
Yeah, so it is a big part of marketing the sport. Well, let's talk about marketing. Let's get into it. Because I have a personal obsession with marketing and branding and how it's targeted at us, and particularly what's happening right now with the politics of marketing and branding. One of the things that my family and I like to do when we're watching a show on TV, I look at the commercials and I ask my family, who do you think is watching this show based on what these commercials are saying? Can you give me a picture of the typical viewer they think is watching this show? And it's so funny, we were watching a show the other night, and we were getting commercials for college savings loans and AARP. And so and my whole family was watching it. Okay. So I was like, this is a show that's, we're obviously the demographic. We're a family with older kids. We're moving into middle age and our kids are moving into college. And so I love that I could see the targeting right there in the market. Yeah. And we met it. Like we were the people.
They had it figured out for you, right?
They figured us out. So the marketing industry, particularly at the CEO level, at the corporate level, they're starting to figure out that there is some kind of profit value in wading into politics. Do you think that any of what we're seeing from big brands, like let's say Coca-Cola, which caused a big ruckus over the Georgia voter law, do you think that is genuine, or do you think that purely lies in a marketing aspect?
Yeah. It's exactly the right question. And you don't hear people really talking about it. People just assume that that's what that company is doing. That's what their culture is. And so they just stood up for it. And I do think, I don't know how much they actually go, here's our audience. Here's how they feel politically. Although we are all so obsessed with politics now in our country, right? That and the pandemic creep into every conversation we have. Just give it a little bit of time, right? Just give it a little time. And so it is the right question. I think it's, frankly, it's a little bit of both, to be honest with you. I think it's a big mistake, by the way. And even though on a short-term basis, if you inject at least some political, you know, a little political influence in there, it might be effective. I just don't believe it helps for the long haul. And I've been very outspoken about what happened with Coca-Cola and American Airlines and Major League Baseball during that particular time. And the problem I have and what I speak about is that, you know, the country is pretty evenly divided when you think about it, right?
It's
like,
yes,
that's very evenly divided. So if you come down on one side, even though you may think that you're appealing to this certain segment, you run the risk of offending the other side because people are very opinionated, right? And if they see you trying to make a political statement that leans left or leans right, and you're on the other side, you are suspicious, you're reactive, and it creates a lot of negativity for that side. I think the other thing is that what some people forget is their employees. Like the Delta CEO, don't get me started on this one, but the Delta CEO was like, well, many of our employees have come to me and they were concerned and I deserve, you know, it's my responsibility to stand up for them. Well, I'm not so sure how many there were, but think about the hundreds of thousands of people that work for either Coca-Cola or all of its bottlers, their bottler network. You know, did he really speak for them? My guess is that over 50% of those employees are conservative.
Yeah.
And he is out there, you know, with this particular statement, which was totally off base in my opinion. But anyway, I just think it's a slippery slope. I can understand why companies, if they see that they could get a market share advantage or sales advantage, might inject politics to some extent, but I really worry about what it does long term.
Yeah, well, this is interesting because you say, like, especially with Delta, that their employees are probably largely conservative. And for our listeners who wonder why he said that, well, Delta's in Georgia and it's probably, you know, so it stands to reason that if not, totally conservative, at least that kind of like flyover country mentality, like worker, working class mentality. So I what a great point. No one ever thinks about those people. We're thinking about the people in the New York office, you know, who are going to lunch in Manhattan and then going to the CEO, as if I can't imagine any like peon in the mailroom, this, and you know, a young Gen Zer working their way up to the top, going to the CEO, going, my feelings were really hurt because Georgia enacted this voter law. But
no.
And I did a whole episode on Georgia vote. I did two episodes on Georgia voter law. I actually read the entire law for people so that no one had excuses to not know what was in it, you know, and to see, like, we're probably overreacting quite a bit. But here's another aspect of that. The reason why a lot of us were overreacting to what was in the bill was because of some of the stances that these companies were taking. So when you see giant brands like Coca-Cola and Delta or in other areas like Target come up against these political machinations in public, sometimes that can be influential, right? Like sometimes as a consumer, you can be like, oh, maybe this is worse than I thought it was. Maybe this is a reason to panic. What level of influence do you think branding and marketing plays in our politics? Is it chicken or the egg kind of thing?
Yeah, tough to gauge, but I think you're on the right track. I think it's an increasingly common a tactic, right? And I do think that people who, let's just say, do not really study or keep up with current events and politics, and you know that just kind of get a snippet of the news here and there. I think when you see those advertisements, I think those are the people that can be affected, right? Mm. So I think you're on the money. I think it's seeping into what we do and what we see and what influences us as a society. I have a lot of indigestion about what the long-term result is going to be.
Yeah, I do too, actually. And I'm wondering, though, you mentioned earlier that you don't think this is good business, that you think in the long run that this will turn around and bite a brand. And I think your words are very true. We can kind of see a little bit of that in Coca-Cola, both Coke and Delta kind of backtracked a bit on their exactly. Georgia voter stuff. Yep. The legislature called their bluff, you know, said, well, we don't need to give you these tax breaks if you don't want to support the policy work that the state does on behalf of the citizens. You know, we don't have to give you your tax breaks. So they did, yeah. They did back up a little bit, but I'm wondering, what do you think of what is going on in the boardroom? Like, you have insider knowledge of how that works when they're sitting down to decide a direction they're going to take for branding, let's say branding, because branding is always evolving and changing in product placement. What's that conversation like? Like, I'm going to tell you how I imagine it to be as a peon who's never sat in a boardroom in my life. I imagine some old rich white guy sitting at the head of the table, and he's got his minions gathered around them. Some may be in their 30s or 40s, millennial generation. Some may be like me, Gen X. And they're saying, hey, the kids, what they're talking about now is gender fluidity and voting rights and XYZ. And we really need to get in on this. And the CEO going, I don't know what non-binary means. I don't know what woke means. I don't know what any of this means, but if you guys think it's cool, then we'll go for it. That's how I imagine the marketing meetings going down.
Yeah, well, that can be one scenario. There are a lot of others too. And I don't know so much that it's like somebody going, well, this is what the young people are saying. That is true, though. A lot of these young employees now, especially what's happened politically and from an activist standpoint in the last year or so, feel empowered. And they're actually banding together and going to the president or the CEO and saying, this is what we demand. They're coming out of these colleges where they're, let's just say it, they're brainwashed.
Right. And they think they're very important. About this,
oh yeah, yeah. We're a horrible oppressive country. Right. Yes. So we're going to stand up and do this. Well, you know, now they've got, you know, and again, many of these are coming out of the top colleges with MBAs. And so, you know, the officers in the company think, well, this is reality. This is what all young people are thinking, which, by the way, is not true, but that's what they think. The other thing, just anecdotally, is it's probably also what they're hearing from their wealthy elitist friends, either in their neighborhood or their private club or where they're playing squash, right? And those are the people who are saying the same thing. So, I don't think it's based on any real, analytical information. Maybe it is to some extent, but I think it's a lot more just kind of, I think a lot of it is ego, that these CEOs want to be seen as this, you know, very, you know, hip and up to date, kind of younger sort of mentality. And that's what they do. It's also driven, frankly, by the board. And what's happening now is you have these recruiting firms who actually help place directors on the boards of these public companies. Well, these recruiting firms are very woke. And so they are recruiting these outside directors who, in a very kind of innocuous way, they're put on the board. And maybe they, you know, having been in some of these situations, they keep their mouth shut for a couple of meetings, right? They're the new person on the block. And pretty soon they exert more influence. And oh, by the way, there's another new director that's been added by the same firm. So now these directors start saying, you know, we probably need to be much more progressive, end quote. And so they start moving in this direction. And it becomes almost a takeover. And sometimes CEOs are caught off guard. And so you've got that taking place. You've got these younger employees who are coming in who feel very empowered and have kind of this activist sentiment. And all these things going together. There's one other thing, too, that people aren't aware of. HR. In the past 25 years, HR, which used to be a function of here are your benefits, here's your payroll, here's how you clock in, here's how you get paid. Now, HR in many of these companies, between HR and legal, they have taken over almost the strategic direction
wow.
and the operation of the company. If you go back and look at the profile of these HR people that come to these big companies, you know, they're very liberal. They are very woke. And now all of these, you know, diversity and equity and inclusion issues, they are pushing and they're pushing it to the CEOs that we've got to do this. We've got to be in compliance. So you start having a company lose focus on what it's really supposed to do, which is like make great products, have a great service, add something important to our society and make a reasonable profit so you can stay in business, right? Mm-hmm. Now that becomes secondary. And we've got companies focusing on all these other things. And these CEOs are hit by all these different influences at the same time. So you can kind of see where this wokeness comes from.
That's really interesting. It's bottom up, not top down. And this is a thing I talk about all the time in all aspects of business and politics. If you want to change things, you kind of have to change the feeder system, the river, you know, that feeds into the ocean. You have to start. I tell this to my liberal listeners don't have this problem, but conservatives have this problem. Where I always tell conservatives, stop raising politicians. You know, if you want to, if you want to affect the culture, raise CEOs, raise artists, raise movie makers, you know, raise the people
right.
that will
right.
be in positions of influence. Because as you're saying, this probably the second most influential person at a company, at a given company, besides the CEO, is HR right now. Not something we would think about.
No, but it's definitely the case. And they have so much influence. But yeah, you're right. We do have to change at the grassroots level. And, you know, it can be, it can make you pretty pessimistic when you start thinking about, okay, we're going to start at the bottom. But what does that mean? Now we have to influence how students are, their perspective that students are coming out of college with, because
right.
they're going to take these jobs. So we've got about three generations to make up at the colleges to kind of balance out philosophically what they're exposed to. It's we have unfortunately allowed ourselves just to get very slowly drawn into this, and we've just kind of, you know, we've kind of taken the kind of this real liberal lean at our colleges and go, oh, people are gonna, you know, they're gonna get out of college, they're gonna pay taxes, everything will balance out. That's not what's happening. It's kind of gone the other way, and it's going to be difficult to get back to where there's at least balance.
And what we need balance, because that's important to selling a product. And I think at the end of the day, that's what you're saying. It's not about people not being allowed to have a conscience at work. It's not about people not being allowed to have ideas that conflict at work right. and working with other people, but it's about the people that you're serving, right? And so I think part of the issue here, like, I'm wondering, you know, just how much value there is. I'm trying to form this thought. Here's the thing. My issue with the products I buy going woke isn't that I'm offended by people who think differently from me. I'm mm-hmm. totally fine with that. And everyone on this show knows that I am for more speech, not less. And you can't respond to a bad idea that you can't hear. We need to have all of these voices in the public square. But when I'm buying a product, be it a movie, a bottle of Coke, clothing for the school year, I don't want to go and feel like the people that made this product hate me. I don't, you know, that doesn't feel good. And I think Black Americans can really understand this idea, because throughout history, like especially in the 70s and 80s, there were a lot of products that were made that the Black community took, turned into high fashion, like Adidas is one I'm thinking of, turned into high fashion. But it was all the while knowing that the people that were making this product didn't want us to buy them. They didn't want people in the hood in Adidas, you know? And there's right always been tension in the Black community about buying products from people that we feel hate us. So I think my liberal listeners can understand how I feel then as a conservative. Like, I feel the same way. It's not that I don't want you to have these ideas. It's fine. But as a consumer, where I'm going to spend my money, at the very least, you don't have to love me and agree with me and pick up a gun and start screaming about your Second Amendment rights. But at the very least, don't act like you hate me and then ask me to give you money.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know what? I think that they don't even realize that that is the way it's being interpreted. They think it's just so easy to talk about, you know, the middle class and the flyover states and people who are out there working. And, you know, it's so easy for them to almost unintentionally demean them. And they don't realize that that affects us and makes us not want to buy. And you want to go, I'm not going to give them more money just to keep, you know, spreading all this kind of stuff that talks about me and my friends and my cohorts here, right?
Yeah, exactly. There is the whole reason for making a product is to sell it. That's it. You know, and I think this is a thing that a lot of people don't understand about wokeism, what we're calling wokeism in the corporate culture, is that it's not just about people kind of evolving their political views. You don't start a company to get into politics unless it's a political company. You start a company to make a product to sell to people. And I hate to break it to a lot of Americans out there, but this country is filled with all kinds of people. You made the great point that who are the people actually making these products? Where do they live? Where are they working? For CEOs to delve into politics when really they just need to be selling products. I mean, what do you think is the moral obligation of a CEO when they're marketing their products or getting into this world of woke politics?
Well, I think the most important thing in building a company over the long term, one that, as they say, built to last and that, you know, sustains its position and its employee base and continues to provide great products, is that they have, first of all, focus, a vision, but their focus, as you said, making a great product, having the best service, you know, providing the best that they can provide to our citizens. That's number one. And then number two, it's about unity. You know, it's about having a team. You can't sit there and say, we're going to have a team and we're all pulling together, one for all for one. And oh, by the way, politically, you're wrong. And what I'm going to say comes across as being condescending and hurtful. You can't do that. And that's the water that you wade into with politics. Okay. Politics really, they really do not need to enter into corporate decision-making and corporate direction. Short-term, you may get a bump. You may think, wow, look how woke we are. Me as a CEO, all my CEO friends and in all these organizations, and look at me. You know, I'm right there with the Jamie Dimons of the world and the Roger Goodells of the world. But think about your employees. Think about your team. You know, the thing that I'm most proud about as far as, you know, building Varsity Brands over, you know, 40 years is, yes, we had a very, what I would consider, enviable track record financially. No doubt about it, right? The thing I'm most proud about is the culture. And that culture really was, it's very egalitarian. We have a wide variety of people, different races, religions, you know, you know, things that they focused on. We had that, but we also had people who differed politically, but we were all friends. We all got along and we all respected each other. And we didn't try to take a stand politically. So at the end of the day, when things got tough, we were able to overcome it because we were a team and we did respect each other. I think adding this wokeism, I think it's very condescending, and a lot of people who espouse it don't even realize how condescending it is to the people that they're talking about, really, in a way they're talking about them. And I just think it's dangerous, and I think it damages a culture over the long haul, and that culture is the most important thing you can build in a company.
Amen. Amen. I love that. I think culture is very important, and we're starting to see some companies really not have control over their culture. And I think that speaks to what you were telling us about HR and how powerful HR has become inside companies. Hey, it's Kira Davis here. Are you like me and looking to get in shape for summer? Well, I've got a deal that can help you. You can eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. One of my favorite things about Factor Meals is how easy they are. You can get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals, so you can get back to doing what you love this spring. Are you looking for something a little fancier? Say no more. You can try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. And if you're the type that likes to look out for the environment while you're getting in shape for that summer bod, you'll be happy to know that Factor is celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. And fans of Just Listen to Yourself get a very special deal on Factor this month. Head to factormeals.com/JLTY50 and use code JLTY50 to get 50% off your first month. Plus, get this, plus 20% off your next month. I got to tell you guys that again because I know you can't believe it. Use code JLTY50 at factormeals.com/JLTY50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals, and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast. Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal.
Hey, y'all, this is Sarah Lee with Marble Halls and Silver Screens, coming to you today to remind you that if you're curious about all the news coming out of the Marble Halls of Washington, D.C., but don't have the patience for the mainstream media's take on it, this podcast is for you. I cover all the news that breaks over the week from D.C. and then attempt to translate it into what it means for a conservative American audience searching for answers amongst the spin. The Silver Screens part of the program covers the overlap between the entertainment industry and politics, which is significant, and then I offer my own thoughts on some of the newest streaming options and films as they're released. So join me on Fridays for a breakdown of what's happening in politics and movies, and be sure to subscribe to Marble Halls and Silver Screens, an FCB radio podcast, at Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcast. Take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and come back soon.
Okay, that was my interview with Jeff Webb about woke capitalism. That was part one anyway. Tune in next week to our mini-sode to hear part two. I asked Jeff about how we maybe solve some of these issues and what consumers can expect moving forward with woke capitalism. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week. If you don't like the way I talk, then why am I on your mind? If you don't like the way I rock, then why are we wasting time? We fight and we argue, you'll still love me blind. If we don't mess this whole thing up, guaranteed I can blow your mind. And tonight I'm alive in a dollar sign, guaranteed I can blow your mind. In a dollar sign, guaranteed I can blow your mind.
The FCB Radio Network. First-class broadcasting worldwide.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.